Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. My name is Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
And I'm Brock Martin.
And my name is Father Mike Schmitz.
We are so excited to have Father Mike Schmitz here with us today. We're asking the question, we're asking Father Mike, are selfies sinful?
Let's make sure we take one at the end too, by the way.
That would be great. Okay, great.
Father, this topic came to our mind because social media is so prevalent in the world today. I mean, there are actual influencers out there making six figures by posting things on Twitter and Instagram and all the other places. I'm not even sure I know all the places right now. But these influencers are influencing people's decisions based on the selfies that they take and the tweets and the words that they put out there. You have a massive influence in the Catholic world, and even I would say just the world in general. Bible in a Year was the number one podcast in the world for a while, and yet you're not on social media. And there are probably influencers out there that are thinking, he is crazy. Why is he not taking advantage of this? And so I want to just throw that question out there. When we look at influencers and social media, what role would you say social media has in our life to where it could be healthy, and where does it actually cross that line?
Wow, it's such a broad question, but it's such a good question, because I think it's one of those, as you guys are even framing it, it's one that actually applies to everybody. It's not just a question that applies to someone who would be one of these, you know, quote unquote influencers. It's so hard to say the term influencer. Isn't it just like one of those where you're like, so-and-so is an influencer. Like, oh my gosh, that's just, it's kind of cringe in my mind a little bit when someone says that, but that's what's happening. I mean, it's if we look at advertising, what is advertising trying to do? It's trying to influence you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the way or the reason why people make money on the gram or wherever is because they're selling something. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing. So, but we can get to that. We can get to that kind of extreme in a little bit. But I think the first place to start is that this, a posting culture, a sharing culture, a social media type culture actually impacts every one of us in the sense that it's not just someone with X amount of followers. It could be someone with seven, and we would have to deal with the same issue, because the issue is not external, I think, as much as it is internal. Mm-hmm. And the big question, of course, is what am I sharing? The questions are, what am I sharing? Why am I sharing? What am I looking for? Because those are going to be the questions that we have to ask at any point. And that's where I would start when it comes to any kind of posting on whatever kind of media. The question is, okay, what am I sharing? Why am I doing this? And what am I looking for? I would say that, as you mentioned, I don't do too much social media things. I mean, I have a Twitter and I have Instagram. I don't use them very rarely. And part of that goes back to when I first had signed up for Twitter. I remember this very distinctly. I was coming back from Steubenville, Atlanta, which is great. Actually, I'm doing a conference there this summer again. So it's kind of bringing back some memories. I remember being on the plane and like about to take off. And so I was on Twitter and I tweeted something like, hey, Stubby ATL, thanks for a great weekend, whatever, something like this. And I get back to Duluth and a friend of mine held up their phone and said, what's this? Pointing out my tweet.
Yeah.
I was like, I was taken aback. I was like, I don't know. It's a tweet. And she said, no, this is how celebrities tweet. You're not a celebrity. You're a priest. Oh. You don't tweet like this. And I remember thinking like, but, and then they was like, no, she's right.
Dang.
And so that really, really changed the way that I approach social media. Just recognizing that, yeah, I don't need to share everything I think. I don't need to comment in every way. And also just that, yeah, I don't need to share. So anyways, I'm going to stop right now because I kind of rambled, but I wanted to share. This was a defining moment in my life where someone actually spoke to me and was saying that, no, this is how others do it, not you.
Well, I love that example. And so there's men listening right now that are probably asking themselves these questions, you know, when do I tweet? Why do I tweet? What do I tweet? Why am I sending out what I'm sending out right now? I think one of the funniest things that I started to see in social media is when we would take pictures of what we were about to eat and like post that, like people cared what I was about to eat for dinner. But I think the comment you bring up is really important, because as you said, it's flipping the reality from an outward projection to an inward reality of, am I posting this out of some like hedonistic desire in a way? Am I trying to get more attention for myself or more eyes on me rather than deflecting something to a greater good? Am I off there, Father? Or is...
Well, I would say not just that, but also even just that sense of not merely am I pointing to myself or am I pointing to the Lord or to something more important than myself, but even just what am I looking for? So you mentioned the food. So I will take pictures of my food and then I'll send them to my family group text. Like, and all I want from there is I just like, hey guys, I made this, you know, this is what I did, or look how rare this steak is. Isn't it incredible?
Yeah.
But what do I want? I want connection.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for connection, but I want, knowing that the connection with anonymous people or with people that I know, but we're not really close, that's a hollow connection.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say completely false. There's a facade to it.
Yeah.
Because it's hollow underneath.
Because it's totally different, you know, whether you text it to your 5 family members or your 5 million subscribers, right? Like, there's a total different reality there as far as this connection, this relationship that you're talking about.
And then that's the thing, is I have to ask, what am I looking for? What I'm looking for with my family is I know exactly what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for my family is I want them to be like, whoa, nice job, Mikey. You know, like, that's what I want. I'm like, yep, that's fun. And how'd you make that? Oh, here's how I made it.
Yeah.
And people I love, because they also know that I had to grow in areas of like cooking my own meals. So that was I left the peanut butter sandwich realm to like, oh, now I'm making something with more than 5 ingredients.
Father, do they call you Mikey?
Yeah.
Amazing. Everyone
so,
take note of that.
I have a brother-in-law who always calls me Father Mike or Father Michael, and his wife, my sister, will often in public with her kids, I'm Uncle Father Mike. But then when we're kind of like, you know, and my parents in public, they'll be like, they'll say Father Mike, or they'll say FM. But then, you know, when it's just us, they'll be like, Mikey, which is one of my favorite nicknames from them. I've always loved it.
Yeah. Father, we had one of our missionaries on a campus meets a freshman, I think hockey player, right? D1 hockey player, who finds out he's Catholic. And this freshman is communicating to our missionary, yeah, my grandpa mentioned something about this podcast from Father Michael. And we're just like, what? Oh, it's Father Mike. So it's just funny how people relate differently and say different things about you. So being an influencer at one point was something I kind of wanted to do, because I'm like, I want to change the world. I want to preach the gospel. I want to save souls. But then I realized that it became the temptation just to be an influencer. The purity left it for the gospel. And so I love that we're talking about this, because I experienced it. It was just really difficult. I had to leave. I'm only on one platform, actually two if you count LinkedIn, because it was just not good for me. And so I think there's a lot of us that just need to examine what's that motivation. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back, Father, you were talking about the connection piece. So I watched a Catholic that's, I guess you could say, maybe is an influencer, and they were making the claim that social media is a great way to connect and share life. And you're hitting on that, and I wanted you to dig in more on that, because I don't think it is true. And I want you to underscore that point. Like, why is that not an authentic connection? Why is that not an authentic way to share life? And can you juxtapose more what you did with your family, the picture with your family, versus sharing that picture on Twitter? Because those are so different, right?
I completely agree with you in the sense of, if someone's going to say, okay, let me back up. If someone were to say that social media is a great way to connect, I wouldn't immediately argue with them.
Sure.
You get connected in the sense of you can reach out, you can share a certain degree. Another thing about this is social media is a great place to learn. Social media is a great place to, or media, whatever, you know, what's online is a great place to be able to have discussions of a certain sort at times, not always, but a place to share life. It's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite of sharing life. You can share information. Yes. You can share entertainment. Yes. But to share life is not what's happening on social media. Sharing, because why? Because what is it to share life? To share, I would imagine that the elements of sharing life involve, they must transcend, I know such and such about this person, and they know such and such about me. Okay. That can be the case. That could be present. But it also means not just that we're in each other's orbits, or in each other's periphery, but they're actually in each other's presence. We're actually in each other's lives in this real significant way. Because, I mean, I'll think about this. And there's some people online who I think are kind of fun to see them travel the world, you know, some travel vlogs essentially, or some exercise vlogs that I, I'll tune in and just like, yeah, what are they doing these days? And it's interesting, but I have, I'm under no illusion that we're sharing life when, like, even if I saw their videos, and if they like saw some videos I've made, there'd be no illusion that we're friends.
There's still no relationship.
We don't have a relationship. I know some things about them, but we are not sharing life. Now, again, the positive part of this is you get to share valuable things. Just because you're not sharing life doesn't mean you're not sharing something valuable.
Right.
There is like the varsity Catholic, the hockey player, like to be able to say, hey, my grandpa turned me on to this podcast. Like, that's wonderful. Yeah, or here's a video, or here's your guys' podcast that you get to share, but you're not sharing life in this. You're sharing information.
Yes.
And I think that there's something different that okay, we need Father, to specify.
I have a quote that I found of an article about you. And it's a quote about social media. And I want the last line in particular for you to jump off it, because I think it is a spectacular quote, if I can give you some affirmation on that. But the first part of it, you say, I don't tweet a lot. I don't post too much. Because if I did, it would be an attempt on my part to be a constant part of people's consciousness. And this is the part I love, Father, that you said. They have other things to think about, and I don't need to give my heart to strangers when I can give my heart to the people living right within my midst. Mm. What did you mean by that? Why is that important?
Well, that sounds, you know how you hear yourself and you're like, wow, that was really good.
Yeah. Steve says that all the time when he listens to the podcast.
But I don't want to take, like, I don't even see that as mine, but I really, because it just seems so true. Mm. It just seems so true that, again, when it comes, because here's the temptation. The temptation is when I post everything I think, when I share everything that here's an opinion, I recognize that this is me internally. I am not thinking with the mind of Christ. When I do that, what I'm trying to do is I'm thinking with the mind of, again, it's not even, I want to influence them for the Lord, because I recognize that, how to say this, to really share Jesus involves certain things, involves presence, involves time.
Amen.
And I'm not giving anyone either of those things if I post something online. But what I am doing is I'm giving in a certain way a snapshot or a glimpse into, here's what's on my mind, or here's what's in my heart. But there's a certain element of, but I'm not really sharing my heart. I'm just kind of prostituting myself in some ways of just, here is, yeah, this cheap imitation of depth.
And that's why young people are struggling so much, like, right? Because they're prostituting themselves. Yeah. I love that.
They're eating junk instead of eating healthy foods, but not realizing it, right? Yeah. So they are convinced that they are in relationship via Snapchat and social media. They're convinced of it. And it even feels like it sometimes, you know, like, Father, during the pandemic, when the churches were closed, my family would, you know, we'd dress up, we'd go to the basement, and we would attend Mass with you. And we felt like we got to know you. And I know a lot of people felt like that. But we didn't have a relationship with you. Right. Like, you never saw us. We never talked. But it feels like. And so I think the youth, I think so many people out there, I think ourselves at times, convince ourselves that we're in relationship when we're not.
Yep. Yeah, I think my family, we just put a hummingbird feeder in our backyard. And so you mix water and sugar and you put it in the feeder. But if you took artificial sweetener and put it in the water, the hummingbirds would think that they're full, but they would actually starve to death.
I'm wondering where you're going with
hummingbirds. I think that's what we're talking about,
yes,
right?
100%.
Like, we're getting the sweet and low water, not the actual calorie water, and that connection that we need. People think that they're filling themselves up with this, but they're actually starving to death because they're not getting the real thing.
Yeah.
Father, I'd love, we talk about the new evangelization, and a lot of people, especially in Catholic circles that use social media well, this comes from, you know, Vatican II, Evangelii Nuntiandi, from Pope Paul VI, but John Paul II really hammered this home, right? That we want to share the gospel with new methods and new ardor and new expressions. But the reality is that there's a tension that we have to live in, because we were talking earlier that social media can kind of be a lot like money, that when it's used properly, it's an amazingly effective tool, but it's really easy for us to invert that and to actually use it improperly or in a disordered way. Would love for you just to just tee that up and then talk about, how do you live in that tension of, this is a really effective tool, We don't just want to say it's all evil, but we have to check ourselves and be careful that it's not becoming disordered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I would be the last person to say that it's all evil, because I think even Steve is mentioning that here during the pandemic, we're able to, you know, when you're prevented from actually being in the Lord's presence in the Eucharist and at Mass, that there is a certain sense of like, I mean, that's why we started doing the online Masses, is because we didn't get to say goodbye to our students. Mm. And or I didn't get to say goodbye to our students. And I was like, I want to still offer something, you know, these people that I really care about. And I was grateful to Ascension for letting us, you know, do it on their platform or whatnot. Yeah. Because there's something powerful about this. Especially, I would even say, you know, I know people who have said, you know, I come across Bishop Barron's videos, and that's why I'm Catholic now. Or Matt Frad really helped me out, you know, that whatever. There's something really, really good. And actually, it works. But what it's offering, again, let's not be under the illusion that we're sharing life here. We're sharing content. We're sharing information. Mm. And the thing I always highlight, it strikes me so, I'm so grateful, so grateful. And I don't want to say humbled, because that sounds really cocky, but I'm so grateful and humbled by the fact that I'll talk to people at conferences or whatever, and they'll say, oh, I'm in my Bible study, or I teach religious ed on Wednesday nights, or actually teach religion at my high school or whatever the thing is. And we use your videos, and our students have really helped.
That's awesome.
Been helped by this. And they'll say, thank you for this. And I'm thinking, you're welcome. But here's a couple of things. I'm standing here in front of this person who shows up day after day and is in these young people's lives on a regular basis. And I'm thinking, you're the one doing relational ministry. You're the one actually in the mess of their lives. I just sit in my living room. I hit record. I hit stop. And I upload a video. Like, that is very easy. And that is not strictly, well, gosh, I'm not going to say that's not evangelization. I'm not going to say that's not ministry, but it is a sliver.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a sliver of that. Mm. And so it's creating, and maybe I'll say it like this. It's using a tool. And so now the video, your podcast is a tool. And then in the hands of people who are willing to share that tool, that's when the tool gets used for good or for ill.
Yep.
And that's why I think we need to make podcasts like yours. I think we need to make content so that people who get what evangelization really is, they can use it. They have something to use.
I love that. I love that too. In scripture, we read about Christ gathering the thousands of people for these big presentations, if you will, these big sermons. And then we really read how he pulls his disciples away in quiet and solitude to really go deep. And I think there's a difference there. And in Focus, we see this too. We have some of the biggest conferences in the world where we gather Catholics. Tens of thousands of people come together, and they're huge and they're great, and they get to hear from speakers like you and so many others. But when the rubber hits the road of evangelization, it is the missionaries walking shoulder to shoulder on this, you know, this journey of evangelization, of transformed lives. That's the critical part. That is where the Lord really finds himself to reside in evangelization, and is in that relationship where they're rubbing shoulders. And so I think what you just said hits on that, where we chose to do this podcast for a reason, to get information out there, to try and share the love of Christ through very practical ways with men. But we understand that we don't even know who's listening. Is anyone listening?
Right.
Like, we don't know who's out there listening. We're hoping they're learning, they're growing, but the true relational evangelization is going to come when they listen. We just heard about someone listening to our podcast and then talking to their son about it. And we're that's what we want.
That's awesome. Know?
I love it.
To tee up the practical part of this conversation, I'd love to just say it. You know, with a lot of these things, it's kind of easy to figure out what virtue you need to develop to find the mean here. It's not super clear for me with social media what the virtue is and then how do we grow in that virtue. So I'd love, Father Mike, just you can spitball with this. What virtue helps us moderate how much we're using social media? Are we using social media in the right ways? Like what for men to grow in a virtue, what should they be aiming for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first one that comes to my mind, if we're spitballing, I'm going to say the first thing, the brainstorm. I think the first one is humility. And I don't mean humility in the aw shucks. I mean humility in that sense of being, I'm going to be honest. In that sense of, I'm going to be honest with myself. I'm going to be honest with those answers to those questions. What am I posting? What am I sharing? What am I looking for here? Mm-hmm. And I want to be completely honest with that, because I said, no, it's fine. I just this is normal to post this thing that I'm saying, or this image, or whatever the thing is, to be able to say, okay, it's fine. Sure, it's fine. Maybe it's fine. But let's be honest. What are you going for? You're looking for the response. Or sorry, maybe I have to be more honest with myself. Like, I'm looking for the response. Right. Like, I'm looking for this to be liked. I'm looking for this to be shared. I'm looking for this to be said. I'm looking for someone who says, wow, that was really amazing. I love that. As opposed to something else. I think just first, I would say spitballing, humility, meaning just be completely brutally honest with oneself.
I love that. Father, I totally agree with you that humility is that virtue. And that was the virtue that came to my mind. God created us for relationship. He created us to be in relationship with him. And I think our hearts long for that and sometimes ache for that, to be known and to be loved. And we seek that out in so many ways in the world. But I think in social media, when we post things, as you said, our desire sometimes, not in everything, is to get those likes, to get those shares, to be told you're amazing, to be told, wow, I couldn't live without you, you know? Right. I think we are seeking love. We're seeking to be known, but I think we're seeking it through a wrong avenue. And so I think the approach to social media with humility, with authentic humility, not in the aw shucks way, but in the honesty approach, I think that's huge.
I love it.
Can I offer one more thing? I don't mean to interrupt.
Please, Father.
Absolutely.
I you're our guest.
But let's go back to like the gym selfie. There's selfies and there's gym selfies. And I think the first thought of like, oh gosh, if we're going to talk about gym selfies and be negative about it, that's probably because it's immodest. I don't think that's the reason why I would personally avoid the gym selfie. I'd avoid the gym selfie because, again, you could be completely modest, but it's the question of, okay, what am I trying to communicate? Mm. What am I looking for here? And that's why I would say go back to the not necessarily modesty as being the issue, but just why? And that's the question. Like, I keep coming back to, like, why? What is it that I'm looking for? So I interrupted you, Thomas. I apologize.
No, I thank you. That's a spectacular point. I think practically ask the question, why?
Yep.
The two things I had, Father, you mentioned your friend when you tweeted about Atlanta, like speaking in and saying, what was this? And I think that's a great idea practically. If you start to get a little more celebrity status, maybe for all of us, I don't know, but at least if you're getting a lot of attention, maybe you have someone that looks at your tweets or your posts and just kind of is able to ask you the question, why are you posting these things? My second one is a lot of people that are social media users maybe have families and they're doing a lot of stuff while they're with their kids or at the dinner table. So I think a practical point would be have a devoted time when you post and have a devoted time when you do not open the gram. Yeah. Like, just make that clear. Maybe there's some blur. Oh, this is a really cool time to snap a picture, but maybe you don't post it then. And just let yourself have that freedom of, this is when I'm going to do social media and this is when I'm not.
And we're also talking about looking at social media, right? I'm not a big poster, but sometimes I find myself just like drowning in this endless scrolling and it's like pointless. Like, what am I trying to get out of this? Like, what is my heart actually looking for and looking at other people's lives on social media? I have a lot to pray through that, obviously. Father, you said there's some good ways to use social media, and I took some notes. One is just to learn, just to collect information, right? This is a one-way communication, so we can learn. You did say sorts of discussions, and I think this is an important one because I have seen some people try to convince or debate on social media, and rarely does that go.
Guilty.
I don't think I've ever seen it go well.
Yeah, ever. Nope. Yep. So that would be a bad way that I would say, like, just a practical, try to avoid debating or convincing. And then I think this is more of considering your posting or your viewing is that sharing life and connect. Like, if you think you're trying to share life and connect, I think I would say check yourself on that one.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about how social media and alcohol can kind of be similar. And I think with alcohol, I remember the first glass of scotch I ever had was the night of my confirmation. And my dad said, this is a really powerful tool to make celebrations better, but it's never to be used to make bad situations good. And I think kind of what we're getting at with social media is this is a really effective and sometimes really awesome means of communicating great truths and realities. But if we're trying to fill that void in our heart that Steve, you were talking about earlier, that we desire to be known and loved, if that's our motivation, that would be akin to using alcohol to, you know, make a bad situation good. And in both situations, that's a really dangerous place to be.
Yep.
Love it.
Wow. Yeah, Father, you were going to say something.
I would. Yeah, no, I'd also say, because, that's a really great point. But also recognizing that, okay, two things. I think there's an element of I'm not posting anything. So what am I doing? I'm consuming. And I think there is very little that I rarely grow in virtue when I'm merely a consumer. Mm-hmm. I rarely grow. I mean, when I say even just virtue, like I rarely grow as a human being. I rarely grow as myself mm-hmm. when I'm merely a consumer. And so that's an important thing. And the second thing is I've recognized this myself, which is why I go through these stages of taking Instagram off of my devices and putting it back on and taking it off, putting it back on, because I recognize that because I'm a sinner and I'm broken and I'm just as fallen as anyone in the sense of, oh, wow, it's been 15 minutes and I've just simply watched these clips of, again, people working out or whatever.
Or puppies.
Thing is. Yeah, exactly. But I realized too, like, oh, this is actually changing me.
Yeah.
And I think we deceive ourselves. Sorry, let me just go to myself personally. I think I deceive myself if I or when I approach this and say, no, I'm just going to check this quick. And then I find myself not just checking it quick. Mm. If I find myself actually being drawn to things that I'm not normally drawn to. And so as an example, I remember there was a time when I was, you know, I was just scrolling through Instagram for a couple of days. I don't mean like for days at a time. I just mean like, oh yeah, I just, you know, this, I don't know, from Thursday to Saturday, I was just had Instagram. And I remember being dissatisfied with my life. And I remember thinking about that, like, oh wow. I mean, I love my life. Oh my gosh. I wouldn't trade being a priest for anything, but just like, and it wasn't even like, there was like, oh, I want this other life. Mm. But I was like, oh wow. I've seen all the studies about how people are depressed after they leave social media. People, you know, I have that, again, that sense of I'm less of a person, less of an important life, all these things. And in that one moment I experienced it and I thought, this is so strange. What did I just, and here's the problem. What did I just do to myself? Because that was on me. Like I know that if I'm not paying for something, as they say, you're the product. Like if you're not paying for something, you're the product. Mm. And I was not paying for something, but I was the product because I ended up paying for it. I did it to myself simply by scrolling through other people's lives and then having the sense of like, wow, I'm less satisfied than I was with my life. I need a Sprinter van and I'm going to live with my dog and be a traveling priest. You know, like no, I am not.
Father, that's
moving to a tiny house.
I'm grateful that you shared that with us. I think a lot, the three of us are looking at each other thinking, yep, that's me. I've done that. And so I'm grateful that you were courageous enough to go there. I appreciate it. Gosh, this topic seems like we could just go on and on and on. Obviously, it's intense and prevalent to all of us, men and women, young and old alike. Father, thank you so much for being with us. That's all the time we have for today. Again, we ask a question, are selfies sinful? I think sometimes yes, I think sometimes no, which makes it a tough topic. Yeah, so let's take a selfie. We'll take a selfie and post it nowhere. I don't know. We don't have social media. All right, that's it. Thank you for listening to the Man Catholic Podcast. Be sure to shoot us an email at mancatholicpodcast@gmail.com if you have a topic idea. Be sure to check out bulldogcatholic.org to see everything that Father Mike is doing up there at the University of Minnesota Duluth and all the great work on campus there. Father, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, you guys. It's awesome. You guys are great. Thank you for what you're doing.